Well, happy lunar eclipse day. I'm recording this on October the 28th, under the beams of the Taurus lunar eclipse at 5 Taurus and 5 Scorpio, because the lunar eclipse is a full moon on steroids. And now I'm going to talk about the new moon, the Scorpio new moon, that's going to be on November the 13th at 20 degrees Scorpio. And it's a big one. So this might be a little bit longer than usual. I've made a lot of notes and a lot to talk about. So bear with me, and there will, of course, be a transcript as usual. So if you want to download that, you should be able to in the app on YouTube to download the transit to read along. But anyway. First, I pulled a card because this is so intense, this new moon. And I pulled a card from the Red Seeds Tarot by Linda Hill that is based on the journey, the Eleusinian mysteries of Demeter and Persephone and Hades. And I've been working with this myth and these cards for quite some time because they're informing a lot of work I'm doing at the moment. I worked with these cards through my Venus retrograde heroine's journey, and that's also very relevant to what's happening on this new moon. And I'll explain that when we look at the astrology. But before I dive in, I want to say please subscribe to my YouTube channel, give me a thumbs up, and also, leave me a comment. I love to hear your thoughts. And I also want to give a shout out for this. One of my private community members sent me this, and she did my Venus class also. And this is the Ceres symbol, and I'm writing my book on Ceres. So I want to thank you immensely for that. And it's a very generous gift, which I receive with grace and gratitude. But I also want to mention that my private membership community is going to reopen soon, maybe on my birthday, actually, on December the 14th. I closed it because I felt it needed some shifting and changing of emphasis and a change of name and a change of what I offer within it to make it more inclusive and collaborative. And also to teach people astrology. So look out for the new name and the new offerings when I reopen the private membership community. Because I've been on my own journey of transformation through this intensely chaotic period that we're going through. So I pulled a card for this 20 degree new moon, Scorpio new moon on November the 13th at 20 Scorpio. And this is the Epoptai. Now, this deck is unusual in that it has 22 major arcana cards rather than 21. And this is the extra card. And I kid you not, I pulled this from the deck. Now, the key word for the Epoptai is I am returning. Now, the story of the Epoptai in the Eleusinian Mysteries, to keep it brief, is that Demeter, in her grief about the loss of Persephone to Hades, went to Eleusia. And long story short, the temple was built to Demeter and the Eleusinian Mysteries were created. And it's not much is known about the Eleusinian Mysteries. But what we do know is that it was a mystery cult of initiation and return. And the Mystai were the initiates who entered the mysteries, and the Epoptai were those that had been initiated. So the Epoptai are the initiated ones. However, are we ever fully initiated? So let me read you about this card. And this is really important for this new moon, as you will see. because Scorpio is about deep transformation and death and rebirth, right? So I want to read you the quote, first of all, with I Am Returning, the Apoptai, card 22, which is incidentally a master number and one of the numbers on the astrology chart for the new moon. What we call the beginning is often the end, and to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from, and that's from T.S. Eliot. So in the mysteries for this card, it's now time for the Apoptai to cross the boundary between the liminal realm of the mysteries and then return back to their daily lives. Before they departed, they visited all the shrines in the Eleusinian sanctuary and offered libations and prayers to the gods, their family and their ancestors. After which, in deep gratitude for all that they had seen, they turned and walked back out into their place in the world. And the quote with that little section is, close both eyes to see with the other eye. And that's Rumi. And remember, the new moon is a dark time, a no moon time, when the deepest water sign Scorpio, in Scorpio season. So the soul journey for this card, the sun and the self rise up to awaken, illuminate, and illuminate us. We have journeyed a long way and have seen and experienced so much. Our travels do not end here, for we are back at the beginning once again, regenerated and changed, older and wiser. We will encounter sacred pathways again that will call us, offering us the opportunity to never stop working on ourselves. Our soul journey deepens with every cycle we traverse and complete. Now we rest and reflect on all that have opened up, that we have opened up to. In time, we will be called and guided to set out once again to travel familiar paths and also to discover new terrains we may not have yet visited. Do not, and then there is one more quote with this. Do not follow where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail. And that's from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Now, this is, it's so important that I take my time over this new moon, because it, if a new moon is a 3-day period of darkness, and we're in the dark of Scorpio as well. We're also in the darkness of the changing of the seasons. You know, everything is really, or we're in the veil is thin period. Sorry, we're not in the changing of the seasons, Leamy. And, you know, I feel it appropriate that I have Hecate here and the owl behind me, as usual, my guides into the darker realms, Hecate, the way shower, the owl of the cosmic owl who can see in the dark and has the owl piercing wisdom. And then this is the image on my lovely calendar from She Who Is on Etsy that I buy every year. And look at those wizardy witchy hats and the three birds. And this is about integrating your mind, body and spirit with the threes, I think, into this path of transformation. Because we have been through and are still going through a time of extreme discord and transformation collectively, and it's always as without, so within. So I'm going to take a quick look at the chart and then we'll briefly look at the numbers. I'm not going to talk a lot about the numerology today because I've got so much to talk about. Now then, this is the Scorpio energy on this new moon. It's only, well, actually, it's stronger than this, the energy on this eclipse, because the moon is also in Scorpio. And so we have Haumea. We have Haumea in Scorpio. She is the creatrix. She is the goddess of creation of the Hawaiian peoples. And she also was about regeneration and returning after giving birth multiple times and so on. So, we can see where this is going. Then we have the sun and the moon there, of course, because it's the no moon, right in the dark of the moon being our emotional receptivity, and the sun being our core self, about ready to rise up for a new lunar cycle after the eclipses. Then we have Mars, the traditional ruler of Scorpio at that 22, saying, I am passionate about creating something new and regenerating in this time. I'll talk more about all of this, of course, when we've stopped sharing. And then we have Ceres. Ceres, who to me, because I am writing that book on Ceres, is just one of the most important energies that we have not paid full and deep attention to in astrology, I think. She's known as the Great Mother, the goddess of the harvest, of course, and of the grain, but she was also the goddess of the plebeians, which is the common people. She's about nurturing and nourishment and how we nurture and how we like to be nurtured, and so many things. She is a really important energy, and she's in this deep waters of Scorpio as well. She's actually in Hades' home. Ceres is Demeter in the Demeter Persephone myth, that the card was there, that journey of initiation. And she is really kind of deep in those waters, in the home of what of her nemesis in the myth. But I have my own views on that myth. I think it's all about our own initiation and integration. So anyway, there we go. And then we have all this Scorpio energy opposing all of this Taurus energy still. Jupiter's still retrograde in the sign of Taurus and opposing asteroid Lilith. Oh, I didn't mention her. Sorry. Asteroid Lilith, the talk to the hand Lilith, I call her. She's the only physical Lilith of all the Liliths. And she is kind of like a rebellious teenager who says, no, I demand freedom and equality, and I will settle for nothing less. And there's a lot more I could say about her as well, but this is already going to be long. So Jupiter is opposing asteroid Lilith, then opposing the actual midpoint between the new moon and Mars is Uranus in Taurus, I'll talk more about that. So, and Uranus is the lord of lightning bolts, the lord of expansion. Jupiter is Zeus. He is the lord of the ruler of the gods. He's the king of the gods, and he is the greater benefic. But Jupiter expands everything, and in the sign of Taurus, this is all about values, sustainability, rootedness, patience. I'll talk more about that, of course, as well. So much to talk about. So while we're on just the new moon, the new moon is square to Black Moon Lilith, which is at 21 Leo, actually just a degree from the new Venus star point that was on August the 13th at 20 Leo. And that Venus star point was in square to Uranus. So Black Moon Lilith, we have asteroid Lilith here opposing Jupiter. So expanding that desire for freedom and equality. And then we have Black Moon Lilith, kind of the shamed, wild, elemental self where we feel shame, perhaps, coming up and saying, she's kind of angry and saying, no more. I actually incidentally associate Black Moon Lilith with Scorpio in many ways. So, she could be said to be one of the guides for this new moon. The modern ruler guide for the new moon is Pluto. Pluto is finishing up the journey in Capricorn, the sign of our structures that we live under, the man-made rules. He's been, excavating all the excrement in those areas since 2008. And here we have Pluto kind of saying, all right, it's time to, complete this journey and transform and grow. And remember, Pluto does have a heart. He's very maligned and feared, in my opinion. Other things I want to talk about is that really, because this new moon at 20 is in this stellium around 20 to 24, the new moon is in a watery trine to Neptune in Pisces, bringing in our deepest inner knowing and that third eye energy and that subconscious and our conscience. And that sinking into what our conscience, what our soul's inner knowing tells us. And that's very relevant to this. So quincunxes, Ceres, and by conjunction, the new moon and Mars are in a quincunx to the Eris North Node conjunction. That is exact on November the 27th. So we're close. It's been at the same degree right through this eclipse period. It's probably one of the most important conjunctions we're having right now. Eris, the shit-stirrer, the goddess of chaos, and the person, the one that says, I stand for the outsiders. No, don't leave me out. Don't put me in the corner. Don't leave anybody. And look how horrible all you humans are. Anyway, I did a whole video on that I'll link to, or you can find it on my YouTube channel. But it's important because we're making an adjustment here by tuning into our inner knowing and conscience. The Jupiter-Lilith opposition is actually in a square to Chariclow or Chariclow in Aquarius. Jupiter's in the almost exact square here, and they're approaching each other. And she is the grace spinner, or spinner of grace and space holder. And she has been holding space in Aquarius for us to write a new story as we move into this new paradigm out of the chaos that we're in. I want to, because the word conscience kept coming up for me on this eclipse, I was called to see if there was an asteroid called conscience, and there is, and that's at 6 Aquarius, conjunct Chariclow or Chariclow. And I'm not going to talk a lot about that, but I will just drop it in there that asteroid conscience is sitting on the south node of the United States chart, and also is opposing the discovery degree of Chariclow that was on February the 14th or 15th, depending on your location, 1997. So there's some big energy from, coming in about, is the United States going to kind of create this new story and let go of some past kind of soul habits and things? I'm not going to go into crazy kind of energy about that. I might have to let my cat out in a minute. The last T-square I'm going to talk about is that Vesta and Pholus have been in an ongoing opposition. Pholus is the centaur that takes the lid off things. It's the Pandora's box in Capricorn, the sign of the man-made rules and the structures. And it's kind of like once all this has been dug out of the box by Pluto, Pholus says, here, it's all coming out now, as if we can't see that globally. And that will happen in the structures of your life. What's not working? What needs restructuring? What new rules do you want to abide by based on your conscience? Vesta is the inner sacred flame, and the sacred flame of the hearth and the state. And in Cancer, that's our basis of security. And they are in a T-square to Venus in her back, returned to her home, her other home sign of Libra, the sign of justice, balance, and harmony. So there's a lot to talk about, as you can see. And I'm just going to pause because my cat wants to go out. So. Thank you for your patience with that. She was that's Luna, the moon, and she's very scorpionic, so she's thinking she's probably thinking, oh, you're getting too intense here. But this is insane. It is so intense. So there's a heck of a lot to talk about. I will, just before I move in and start talking about everything, I do want to talk about what's changed since the Taurus lunar eclipse on October the 28th to the new moon on November the 13th, which is the first closing off of eclipse season, the start of a new lunar cycle after the big reset and shifts of the eclipses. So we're beginning again after the initiation, right? So like the apoptosis. But Mercury was under the beams of the sun right through the eclipses and is now out of the beams of the sun, 14 degrees away from the sun, moved into Sagittarius, the sign of truth. Mercury in Sagittarius is said to be in detriment because it's the opposite sign to Gemini, but I have Mercury in Sagittarius, and Mercury in Sagittarius is a real truth teller, and at its highest, Sagittarius is about higher beliefs and faith and shooting your arrows to the future and exploring these higher truths. Sagittarius energy is a real energy of philosophy and higher truths and higher conscience. So, you know, Mercury in Sagittarius can be a bit blurty and too blunt, but at its highest, it's about that higher conscience. Then also Saturn. Saturn by turns direct on November the 4th, about halfway between the lunar eclipse and this new moon. And so Saturn is moving forward. So I'll probably talk a little bit about that as well, as Saturn is the guide for Capricorn, that is the ruler of this, well, where Pluto is, that's the ruler of this eclipse. Is there anything else I really want to talk about? I could talk about every planet, but I'm not going to. They are the major ones. I'm not really going to talk much about asteroid conscience. I just wanted to drop that in there. But I will say it's, you know, your conscience, your deep soul knowing is a real element in this rebirth new moon. So let's stop sharing the chart and dive in. I'm going to quickly go through the numbers. I'm not going to talk about them in depth. I've put a link in my description, as I always do, to my favorite numerology site, because I am not formally a numerologist, so you know I've studied the numbers clearly. But 20 is and it's numerology dash the numbers and their meanings dot blogspot.com is the link, but it's always in my description. So the number 20 is a number of service to souls who are ailing and needing help. This is really about living humanitarian ideals. And the key word for the number 20 is universal service. So we can see where conscience comes into that. Number 20 is about knowledge of both good and evil and must consciously make choices to attain balance in all situations. These people will bear the cross faithfully with the future crown in mind. Their aim is the wise use of time, and they're given a greater spiritual dimension to their perceptive qualities. So, you know, this is it can be a very deep and tough task, really. You know, it's tough to be of universal service all the time. And this new moon is calling all of us to this universal service. Okay. And this intense knowing with your third eye and tuning into your conscience. So this site Says whenever the zero is seen within a number, it intensifies the vibration of the number it appears with. And in this case, that's the sensitive and passionate number two. So this can make the number 20 easily extremely emotional and really kind of, you know, very extremely sensitive, as I know Scorpio to be at its depth. Okay. But the 22 can be a negative vibration. So you know, Scorpio is one of those signs that has both the tail and the snake and the eagle or the phoenix as its symbols. And it's a path of evolution and growth from that stinging Scorpio. Okay. But the 22 can sink into this negative vibration and really cling to safety and security, because we have to remember that Scorpio is a fixed sign as well. And that can, you know, really move into just this emotional intensity and being swayed by the emotional intensity of these watery depths in this new moon, sorry. And so this, you know, can lead to deep sorrow as well, that they don't really understand, or that we don't really understand on this new moon. And it's really kind of, according to this number, that our spirits recalling this separation and longing to return to wholeness and unity. So, you know, I'm not going to harp on about the number anymore. I just do want to mention the 22, which is the master builder, and about dreams made manifest, ancient wisdom, realization, forces of nature. But it can also be about retribution as well. And we can see both those sides of that. But ultimately, it's about universal transformation. Okay. It's the spiritual builder, master builder on the material plane. And it's a powerful number, but with great power comes challenge. Okay. But it can achieve what is hardly imaginable. Okay. And it can turn the most ambitious of dreams into reality. And it's potentially the most successful of numbers. So, a lot to talk about. So I've got to get my notes up, because I know I will forget something that I want to talk about. So this Scorpio new moon, in its depths, with Mars conjunct and Ceres conjunct as well, in its essence, in this dark moon period, in the darkest of water signs, is revealing toxicity in our health, food, sexual matters, sexual health, women's health, reproductive health. It's also going to cut to the heart of secrets and lies. It kind of feels like sex, lies, and videotape. Mars is conjunct that new moon, and Uranus, the Lord of Lightning Bolts, is directly opposing the new moon and Mars, kind of bringing some shocks and surprises on the new moon, I suspect. I think what could be revealed, as well as the possibility of, again, with so much earth and water, as well as literal earthquakes and storms and lightning bolts on the earth, what could be revealed are some real dirty kind of secrets, or some real shadow things, both within ourselves and in the greater world, or perhaps coming from others in this world as well. So it's going to, there's likely to, in the dark of the moon, reveal kind of manipulations, trust issues, jealousy, tendencies for revenge. Okay. It's like psychic surgery, this new moon, with Mars as the surgeon and Uranus kind of cutting open what we need in so many ways. Vulnerabilities are going to be revealed, also fanaticism in others. And there can be an element of anxiety coming up in on this new moon, especially because it's a dark moon in the Scorpio and with all the aspects. And fixed beliefs are going to be shattered, perhaps, by some of these revelations. And of course, this will most directly affect those who have planets around 20 to 25 degrees and perhaps a little wider of the fixed signs, which are Taurus, Leo, Scorpio and Aquarius. And I'll talk about the empty leg in a minute, but it's going to be very moody. So know that this new moon in some ways feels like more intense to me than the actual eclipses that we're just leaving. And Mars in Scorpio fearlessly faces the shadows, but is driven intensely to really surgically dive into all those shadowy, toxic kind of energies and manipulations again. But then also for that return of this deeply initiatory new moon for the rebirth and renewal to start the new journey. Now, Ceres in Scorpio really has a deep hunger to fill the nurturing hole and to reveal what that hole is. It's also about grief and resiliency and a move towards the sustainability and sustenance of self-care and self-reliance and giving nurturing rather than expecting it from the other, that opposite point. Ceres in Scorpio is deeply loyal, but also the desire for that merging kind of quality of Scorpio can make this energy smothering or can feel smothered. And Uranus opposing it can break open those themes. Okay, so it can break it can really break open, deep entanglements so that we can unknot those things to create a new story. Now, I do want to talk about, and should I share the chart? No, I'm not going to. I do want to mention that Ceres is really important on this new moon, as is Venus and Pluto and that whole Demeter, Persephone, Hades story, which I see Venus as Persephone, really. So just so you know. So firstly, Ceres on this new moon is opposing her discovery degree. She was discovered on January the 1st, 1801 at 23 degrees, 23 Taurus, which in her discovery chart was square to Saturn in Leo and Black Moon Lilith and that Venus star point that we had on August the 13th, starting this new Leo morning star Venus cycle, is all activating that. What does that mean to me? This means we are kind of at this crux period of dismantling the patriarchy, to put it mildly, but also, you know, the resistance, the fighting of saying, no, these are the rules. These are the old rules. We are staying with those and we are going to clamp down on those. But I think it's inexorable that we are rebirthing a new paradigm and we don't really know what that's going to look like, but these degrees that are being activated are really important for that initiation into a new paradigm. Okay. Now then, so Uranus has been passing or close to Ceres discovery degree. Uranus stationed retrograde at 23 degrees and 4 minutes of Taurus back on August the 28th and was squared three times by Venus in her retrograde and has passed and will pass the 23 degree mark next year. Also, Uranus is at perigee on this new moon on that day, which means at the middle of the their retrograde in Taurus, closest to Earth, so almost also at his most powerful point, because the closer planets get to Earth, the more kind of impact they have. So things are really going to be broken open, and a lot of it is relating to this big shift in ages that we're going through. You know, Ceres, and this is giving away some of what I'm writing in my book. Incidentally, my paid subscribers and on Substack and my community members get a preview of how my early writing for this book before editing. So Uranus in Taurus is testing the stability and solidity of our values and our connection to the material world. And so all of our fixed beliefs, all of our attachments, all of our entanglements, and all of our attachment to the rules, the structures that we live under, are being broken open on this new moon. It's or and in the period that we've been going through, but this new moon is kind of activating all of those degrees. And so that brings me to Venus, of course, because all this is related to that Venus star point. And she is at 5 degrees, a number of change in the sign of justice, harmony, balance. And she is square that Pholus Vesta opposition that's ongoing for a while. Again, another one, but now because Vesta has stationed retrograde, is coming up to another exact opposition. And this is saying, are we going to take in everything that's happened? Are we going to look at all the evidence, if you like, in Libra, the sign of the scales of justice? And are we going to create this new paradigm from love and create new relationships and so on and so forth? Then add in that Jupiter asteroid Lilith opposition and square to Chiron, the grace spinner and holder of space, who I imagine to be weaving this new story. And Jupiter in Taurus is at its, because it's retrograde as well, is really reflecting on how we create more rooted and sustainable life, both personally and collectively, from our core values and our conscience. Back to that word again. And asteroid Lilith is saying, talk to the hand, no more. We can't keep going on like this. Then that quincunx I mentioned to Eris and the North Node. Eris and the North Node at its ultimate is saying, take a stand for the outsiders, take a stand for the marginalized, don't leave anybody out, and doing your part. If it is to be, it's up to me, be the change you want to see in the world. All that kind of energy is really highlighted on all of this. The Black Moon Lilith squaring the new moon and Uranus is bringing up all the areas of kind of shame and vulnerability and kind of raging, and also saying, no more. It's time to put on my crown. If you were part of my Venus Retrograde Heroines Journey class, this will make sense to you, but we are building on what we've been working on over the summer. If you have been leaning into that transformative and personal growth work of the Venus journey, about putting on your crown, but also about healing your heart wounds, doing that Japanese thing of filling the cracks with gold so that the heart is healed, and that we can lead from the heart in future instead of leading from that place of control and domination. So it's huge. This is so big. This new moon is just massive. There's a lot of, for want of a better term, and I've come to hate the term, so I'm going to call it yin, but also divine feminine energy, because I do feel that ultimately we are being called over and over again through processes of initiation and transformation and growth and change to balance all the separation. And that includes the way the divine feminine in all its forms has been controlled, manipulated, marginalized, left out in the cold, like Eris, deemed ugly. And I'm not just talking about women, I'm talking about nature. We have to control it, we don't work with it, we don't live with it. The cycles of life and death, all those kind of more yin receptive energies have really been marginalized and blocked out for well over 2,000 years under the patriarchy, but we are moving into a new age. I don't know if there's much more I want to say, really. I do want to say that Hecate is now in Virgo, and she is on the lunar eclipse and in on this Scorpio new moon on November the 13th. So she is the way shower. She is showing the way forward, is the way of the priestess, the humble humility, the stepping into wholeness, Virgo being one who is whole unto herself. And it, that brings me to back to these Eleusinian rites. It's, they were priestess led. Okay, so we need more kind of that yin, loving, holistic, kind of regenerative, epoptai, initiatory energies. We need the heroine's journey, not the hero's conquering journey. We need to go within and do the inner transformation, both personally and collectively. So, one last thing. Pluto, of course, is the modern guide for this new moon, and is still square to the to the nodes and that Eris North Node conjunction. And it's saying it's kind of now or never to really shift. And Pluto's most exact aspect is a square to Pallas Athena, the wise owl, to that piercing, wise justice in Libra, balancing, tuning, piercing right into your conscience. So what does your conscience tell you you need to do? We see it in the world. I don't want to get political, but we see it in the rising movement for call for a ceasefire, a ceasefire now, the calls for peace, the calls for more negotiation, the calls for finding a solution. We see it starting to rise. This is going to get bigger as we approach this new moon. And I have hope that it may come to pass because of these energies. And this is about tuning. More people are tuning into what their deeper conscience tells them. And that pull, as we wane towards the new moon, as we kind of plunge down into the darkness, we're going to go kind of our conscience wants us to be loving and healing and nurturing and come together, bringing in all the themes of all the energies in the chart and to protect all our security. And where was I going with that? Anyway, the wise owl is very much here. And on the south node, the wise owl, Pallas Athena, is really saying stop, codependence, playing nice just for the sake of playing nice. That doesn't mean turning into a monster. It means speaking up, taking a stand very clearly for your conscience. The message could not be clearer from this new moon in all areas. You know, I'm not just talking about the global conflicts that are going on. It's tuning into your deeper conscience in anything in your life. So that brings me to the symbols. So I'm going to start with the Sabian symbol, which is a soldier derelict in his duty. And otherwise, Rudyard said it was obeying his conscience. A soldier resists orders. James Burgess, in his analysis of the Sabian symbol, says, this is about conscientious objection. Sometimes we must follow our conscience and face the consequences of society's disapproval. And it's about being true to ourselves. We are tested to find out how deep and authentic is our conscience. There is no escaping this because spiritual values are at variance with the values of society, so to a significant degree on this new moon. This is particularly true of armed conflict, where normally the individual is forbidden to commit acts of violence because it's morally wrong, but the state may demand of its citizens because it's said to be right when defending the nation, even at times when the nation is not under attack. I can ignore that bit. But we are, when tested on issues of conscience, it's good to reflect upon the spiritual benefit of standing on matters of principle. And you could say Capricorn is the principle. Okay. Now then, let's look at the Chandra symbol, also for Scorpio 21. And I'm actually going to read both interpretations. So this is Elias Lonsdale's interpretation of the Chandra symbols that were channeled by John Sandbach. And then I'm going to leave you and finish up with John Sandbach's own interpretation, just because I think this is such a big new moon. And then, you know, I'll finish. But before I do, don't forget to subscribe and all the things. And check out my 2024 previews webinar that's also coming up just after this new moon, on November the 15th. So Scorpio 21 is a pair of glasses with no lenses in them. Brutally direct vision and will focused straight down the middle. An outrageously maverick sensibility, convinced that seeing it all just like it is the only way to go. Defiant of roles, masks, and secondary references. Hugely unimpressed by any form of privilege or specialness, desperate to break through all the barriers to go for the jugular vein, neither temperate nor balanced in any sense, in the path of bluntly insisting upon your right of way, you encounter huge shadows, and you are sorely tempted to assume that they come from the others. But eventually, the hard way, the truth makes itself known. That ornery self-righteousness casts its own formidable shadows. And each and every one of those layers, each and every one of those lays claim upon you. You cannot refuse. Only when the rage has turned to love do the karmic shadows disperse, and bare existence then become a true place to be. Psychic surgery, psychic conscience surgery, I'm going to call this. So John Sandbach's own interpretation for this degree is, chaos can rewrite reality, and sometimes that's a good thing. This degree knows when to let chaos have its due. We think that things need to be prioritized in a certain way. That's our story. But when the plot of our story gets ripped apart and reordered, a new story can emerge, which reveals new and unsuspected aspects of the self. So he says this degree is about seeing directly, Although, as the lensless glasses show, it's not that simple because the lenses are missing the focus, and the focus here is on the frames and not on what we're seeing. And the fact of the matter is that it's how we frame things that determines what we see. And the more we look beyond the transparent lenses that are distorting what we're seeing, often without us even knowing it, the closer we'll come to seeing the truth. I think I'm going to leave it there. Anyway, it's hugely intense. This is why this had to be a little bit longer than previously. Please know there is the transcript in the YouTube app that you can follow along with. I think it's downloadable. I'm not sure, but either way, I don't have time to do everything, so you can re-listen as well. And I hope you will have listened to the end because this new moon has such potential, an initiatory potential for rebirth as an initiated one, and to return to a more conscious wholeness. All right. Much love to you.